the beginning of my after. It was a hard place to get to. I had been in the sticky, dank muck for years. Hitting the bottom of how much darkness I would allow myself felt fast and slow, like it took 6 months and 40 years at the same time. When you grow up in fiery chaos, it's sometimes hard to recognize when you're standing in the flames. One sunny and cold January day in Charleston, I was in my bathroom wearing the same pajamas, unbathed for days, and had just cracked open my second bottle of wine for the day. I was pissed that it was warm, and I was equally embarrassed that I put 2 cubes of ice in it and drank it anyway. As I walked across the lawn, shushing the dogs again, heading to the outside trash can to hide the empty bottle, I saw myself from the outside. When you start hiding the booze or evidence of your actions, you are in trouble. People I had lived with had done it. I'd seen it in movies and on TV, and now here I was doing it. I hated myself so much in that moment, I almost crawled into the trash can to die of shame and defeat. A short while later, I stood in my bathroom with an open 8-ball of cocaine in front of me. I had called the drug dealer and begged him to come before he went to work. I couldn't wait until 10 or 11 p.m. I was desperate, and I used all of my powers of persuasion to influence him. Holding a homemade metal straw in my hand, which in itself is a clue that I had crossed over to the other side, looking at a row of lines made on the counter, I glanced into the mirror, which I usually avoided, and I saw myself. I looked sunken, and my eyes were dark with shame. I was barely recognizable, a shell of a human body with a withering soul. I heard my voice say aloud, "Who are you? We don't do this. We are better than this. No, 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 no." And before I knew what I was doing, I had wiped all the coke off the counter with the back of my arm, dumped the rest into the toilet from the fat plastic bag I had just paid double for, and flushed it all before I could change my mind. I decided that was enough right then and there, surprising myself. Then I just stood there, frozen in time. I stood there staring at my hands, staring at the floor, immovable until it was dark outside. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't drink. I couldn't move. I stood there, paralyzed. Somehow, I still had hope. The voice or feeling or knowing that was inside me had not given up. Secretly, I'd been searching for the right treatment facility for a month or so while I watched myself get closer and closer to the edge of how low I could allow myself to go. Part of me was watching to see how much I could take from myself, and part of me was scared to take any step towards stopping. Part of me wanted to die, and all of me felt like no one cared what choice I made. Blurry-eyed and marijuana high when I did the research, typing in mid-luxury treatment centers on my phone in bed, in dark hotel rooms after I'd been asked to leave work a few weeks earlier. I was so ashamed I could not open the curtains and let light in. I was also angry and mortified, which I did not allow myself to feel, so I went into action. I was dying inside, fighting for something I didn't even have words for. What happened? Well, this is the best way that I can explain it. The day I stood in the bathroom, the day I wiped all the powder into the toilet, was the day I fully realized that my house was infested. My house is my body, and my spirit lives inside, and we are all homeowners. I hit the bottom of my own hell, and it woke me up internally. The frozen moment was me inside myself. Inside my body, a war was happening. I looked around after pulling back the curtains and shining daylight inside. I was like, oh my God, where are all these people in my house come from? All these neighbors and ghosts, and this shit does not belong in my house. Where did this furniture come from? Who put up this wallpaper? Why has this kitchen not been cleaned for years? Oh my God, the floor. There's been a flood. What has happened to my house? I was finally fully seeing that I was not alone in my own home, and it was time to clean this mess up, or I was going to lose everything. Where did all these people come from? I said. And they said, we've been here for years. And I remembered that they had. I had known that they were there, and I had ignored them over the years, mostly hoping by some miracle I would come home one day and they would be gone. Yes, every now and then I would say, you guys have got to go. And they were like, we'll behave, and things would calm down for a while. Then they would get out of hand again, creating havoc, causing floods, smoke damaging the ceilings, putting nails in the wall, shoving things under the carpet. And I would be so overwhelmed by all the work that I would just close the curtains and paint the outside again so no one would know what was happening inside, even me. I thought, and so did all the other homeowners in my old neighborhood, that what the outside looked like was what mattered most. In my frozen silence, I internally screamed, "You've got to go! Get out, get out, get out!" They replied, as all squatters do, "We live here, man. You can't kick us out. We've been here the whole time. You can't make us homeless." I balked at their words. I was living in the smoked-out resonance of past fires, chaos, and filth. And I had made everything worse over the years by bringing home to visit with me the drug fairies and angry neighbors and bully couch potatoes and fed them my soul. I made the floor flood bigger with the help of these so-called friends. The destruction was started by other people, but I kept the deterioration of my house going with my own actions, and I take responsibility for what I did to myself. So that day, while I stood in that room, I was inside my destroyed and infested house and decided to finally take back my power and take back my property. "All right, bitches, this is it. This is it. I have had enough of all of you. I have had enough of all of you." They're like, "We're not going." I said, "Oh yeah? Watch this." And then I flew to California and lit the whole place on fire and watched them run. This is my metaphor for going to treatment. I started the fires and I watched in horror as it all fell down around me. When the fire goes out, there's water damage. There's smoke all around. It takes time before you can even really figure out what to do next. You just have to be burned and empty for a while. And I did that. But the whole point of everything that I'm talking about and everything that I've done, including share this story, is about taking your power back from the things that you don't want living at your house, from the things that make your pipes stink, your paint peel, your kitchen close. It's about learning to really take care of yourself and to decorate your home that you've been given in the way that makes you want to live with no curtains drawn and in community with other homeowners. That home you live in, you were given at birth by your parents. It was basically empty. There was generational trauma that your house was built on. We all have that. That's the shit that's passed on from generation to generation. We build our houses on the graveyards of our family's past. Then, as the years go on, your dad paints the wall, and it's not the color for you. But what are you going to do? You're a kid. That's the way it goes. There's the blue wall. Then your mom buys you something that you don't want for the kitchen. What are you going to do? You're going to put it there because you're a child and you cannot decline. This continues to happen over and over, and you have shit wallpaper, horrible rugs. The kitchen is already dusty and dated before you even know how to cook. And then you go out into the world and you have relationships. That's like having somebody over to your house. And every time somebody comes over to your house, they leave a mark of some kind. Sometimes it's a really nice sofa that they gave you that you can lay on and be comforted. Sometimes it's a pillow, a nice sweater maybe to wear when it's chilly. Those are friendships. Those are people that help us. Then sometimes the bullies put the graffiti, not the good graffiti that you post on Instagram. I mean the shitty-ass kind where they say mean things and destroy your walls. You have to look at their hate every day and the words of pain. They're always there looking back at you, relentlessly poisoning your views of self. Some people, some of you listening, you only have a little bit of damage and you just need a few trips to Home Depot. Some of you have a lot like me. And most of you are in the middle. But let's be clear, we all have some restoration needed in our homes. We are all damaged homeowners, and some of us are still living in the wrong neighborhoods. Each one of us has nicks and scratches and crayon marks on the wall. We're supposed to fix it. We're meant to restore our homes. This is the work we each individually have to do. Better homes and gardens, right? I went to treatment to light the place on fire because all of my rooms have been destroyed or neglected. I had to strip my home down to the studs. I had to take out the floors, unpopcorn the ceilings, redo the entire kitchen, and all the rooms were infested with bugs. I have invested all of my money and all of my time and all of my effort into this, my own restoration. Now I'm living in a beautiful home that can receive guests. We were closed for remodeling for a few years. The relationship I have with myself is loving and caring and compassionate. I've spent the past few years getting to know my heart and learning to care for my physical body. My professors are worldwide and my bench of tools is now deep. I get to have relationships without damaging and without being damaged because I have boundaries. There are fences. There are doors with locks. Not everybody is allowed in, and not everybody is invited. Not everybody knows where I live, and not everybody has even been to this neighborhood. This is me showing you my steps, room by room, chapter by chapter, sharing my craftsman with you, and giving the blueprints to the work I have completed. But as with all old homes, things shift and move over time, and we keep working daily to maintain all 10,000 parts. I love remembering this first step that I took, the first match I put to flame in honor of taking my power back, of saying no more to the pain and the depression and the drugs and the hurting, but saying yes to showing up for myself and telling the truth and learning what it meant to be, to learn who I am and what I meant to do. Now I know myself. I know God, the universe, spirit, love that talks to me, guiding me through the light of my own voice. This is We Explore to Restore.